The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Will Bond and I discuss the Colts needing a quarterback, Tiger taking a break, and the Blue Jays landing George Springer. But we begin today with the news that Philip Rivers is retiring. After 17 seasons in the NFL, 16 with the Chargers in San Diego and Los Angeles, and this one season in Indianapolis when he got to the playoffs. Rivers never got to the Super Bowl, but he stands fifth all-time in passing yards and touchdown passes. And he started the final 240 games of his career without interruption. Rivers will now become a high school football coach in Alabama like his dad. Wilbon, how will you remember his career?
Well, Tony, you know, we automatically in any sport now, we begin to group people, right? And we associate certain people with certain folks. And in football, it's done by position, you know, in a way that is probably not in the other sports. But I think of Warren Moon and Dan Fouts, guys who were prolific, prolific players who had long runs and played almost every game. And they piled up passing stats galore like Rivers did, but they didn't reach the Super Bowl. And then they reached the Super Bowl through no fault of their own. Their teams weren't good enough. They got close. Each of those three gentlemen got close, but didn't have the breakthrough to the Super Bowl. And Rivers the same way. Rivers sets himself apart because he ran his mouth a lot, which I could have done without. And I tend to like trash talkers, but I didn't take to that. But he was a prolific quarterback, Tony, and he will receive serious consideration for the Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, Fouts and Moon, again, that to me shapes the category. I don't know if you've got other names you'd like to put in there as well.
Well, I'll get to the Hall of Fame in a second, but in looking at Philip Rivers' career, I thought he was a very, very good player. What I will remember most is the odd way he delivered the ball, where he wound up and threw it as far as he could. And most of the time you thought it wasn't even going to get there, but it got there, especially with Antonio Gates, and it ended up in the end zone a lot. You talked about grouping people. Well, I'm going to group him as well. I'm going to group him with his draft class. And his draft class is Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. They both got to multiple Super Bowls. They both won Super Bowls. I feel badly for Philip Rivers in this regard. To me, it's like Charles Barkley. It's everything but the ring, because the statistics are certainly there. And I thought he was a very good quarterback. I'll take the Hall of Fame issue. I'll add another name, Dan Marino, who never won a Super Bowl. If the comparables to Marino and to Moon and to Fouts are there, then he's going to get in. Because I don't think they hold it against you if you haven't won a Super Bowl. There are people who've won two Super Bowls who aren't in the Hall of Fame. You voted in that room for a long time.
I did, 10
Is
years.
Philip Rivers, do you think he would get in?
I think he will. I think it may take some push and pull. I don't know the constitution of the room anymore, how many people there are. And, you know, Tony, I'd hate to go because I know how hard the people in that room work and how seriously they take it. I don't want to go to East Coast bias, but there does seem to be some, and that might work in the favor, might, if there still is, in the favor of Manning. But, Tony, you mentioned two guys. When you mentioned Dan Marino and Charles Barkley, I find more comps there. Those guys got to their finals. Charles to the NBA Finals, Dan Marino to the Super Bowl, though they did not win. And they were blocked. Their path was blocked by maybe by the GOAT in their sports. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Rivers. He will, again, he will receive serious consideration, and he should. It's a great career. I don't know how you do anything else but applaud, because you can't presume. Well, Fran Tarkenton got to the Super Bowl. Jim Kelly, they got to the Super Bowl a total of 8 times. Or maybe Tarkenton got there 3 and then Kelly 4. But
so
I mean, it's a lot of times, and they didn't win.
I'm gonna add this for Philip Rivers. The durability is amazing. 240 straight starts as a quarterback in the NFL once he got the job. Only Brett Favre has more consecutive starts than Philip Rivers. Yeah. And when you sit in a room and you want to vote on somebody, Durability is going to matter.
Yep. Added value, no question, Tom. With Rivers retired now, the Colts need a new quarterback. Head coach Frank Reich said just last week he wanted Rivers to return as a starter. Backup Jacoby Brissett is an unrestricted free agent. We've seen speculation that Reich would like to reunite with Carson Wentz, who he coached, coordinated in Philly. But the Eagles recently stuck with Wentz over Doug Peterson, as we know. So, Tom, where do you see the Colts going from here?
So this is interesting to me. Let us review the Colts from last year. They are 11-5 and they make the playoffs. And Frank Reich, the coach, wants Phillip Rivers to stay, but he retires. Okay. So unless they can talk Andrew Luck out of retirement and coming back, they're going to need a new quarterback. Now, Jacoby Brissett, they could keep him as a free agent. They could keep him. But in the years that he started there, and I want to get the numbers correct, though you hate numbers, he was 11-19 as a starter. So then you begin to look around. Is Deshaun Watson available? Is Jared Goff available? The biggest name out there that makes sense, of course, as you mentioned, is Carson Wentz. Would Carson Wentz want to play indoors for a guy he's played for before, or does he want to wait to see who the new coach is at Philadelphia? The other thing is this. He also coordinated for Nick Foles. Nick Foles probably available. He probably dumped in Chicago. Maybe Frank Reich would want him. You know, yeah, okay, what are your thoughts?
My thought is a name you didn't mention, a name where you could get in a car and probably get to Indianapolis in about 4 hours from Detroit, Michigan, where there's a new coach and we don't know what's going on, and the Lions may not want to pay the freight, the big, huge number on Matthew Stafford. To me, of the people who are out there, including Carson Wentz, who I don't even put in a category with Matthew Stafford, because if you ask me, fan of a team that needs a quarterback and won't be able to get this guy, I would take Matthew Stafford. Yes, Deshaun Watson's in a separate category. I don't think of the Colts as a team that so aggressively would make that kind of move. But if Detroit is willing to part ways with Matt Stafford, who's what, 31, 32, something like that, still some good years seemingly left in him, I'd go get Stafford in a heartbeat. Because Indianapolis is set up to win now. They need to plug in a veteran guy who's been in a bad place most of his career and is thinking, oh, my God, I've been freed. So, man, I would look at Stafford as one of those people in that group, even ahead of Carson Wentz.
Somebody will get in my ear. I think he's probably older than 31, but I'm not sure. But what this illustrates with Rivers retiring, what it illustrates is how important a quarterback is, the most important position in all of sports. You look at the Colts. When Andrew Luck 1 year was 8-8, then he hurt his shoulder. And the next year, they were 4-12. Then he came back and he was 10-6. And the next year, he retired and they were 7-9. So 11-5 becomes 5-11 very, very quickly if you don't have a quarterback. Yeah. We move on.
That's right. By the way, Tom, hold on. Woods. Tony, hold on. The people in my ear are quicker than the people in your ear. 32 years old, Matthew Stafford.
Okay. All right. Okay. Tiger Woods has announced that he recently had a fifth surgery to his back. Tiger said he was experiencing discomfort after the PNC Championship he played with his son last month. The surgery was designed to remove a pressurized disc fragment that was pinching a nerve. Nota Begay said on Golf Channel that Tiger was hitting golf balls softly yesterday. So Wilbon, big deal, little deal, no deal.
Well, Tony, there are various elements here. I mean, that kind of surgery on your back is a big deal, period. I don't care what you do. You know, I don't care if you're a mail carrier. If you do anything that requires your back to move and function, then it's a big deal. Now, when you add Tiger in there, all right, for context, and you say, well, is it a bigger deal for anybody else or Tiger? It's probably a smaller deal for Tiger because he's been through this and things like it multiple times and has come back to win. And in a couple of cases, win major championships. So it's less a big deal. But now, at 45 years old, all right, it becomes a bigger deal in that context. So it depends on the context you're talking about as to whether this is a huge deal, which it is in a couple of cases, not as huge a deal in others. I don't see any scenario where you would call it no deal. I don't.
So I'm going to go back to the lead-in that I read because I wrote it, and I'm going to go back to the most important word in it to me, which is the word fifth. This is the fifth operation on his back.
Yeah.
It is the fourth operation of this specific kind on his back. The first one was 7 years ago. Four operations of the same nature in 7 years indicates to me these operations are not working. Right? They're not working. At some point, we just talked about Phillip Rivers retiring. At some point, we're going to have to talk about Tiger Woods retiring. Do I think it's now? No, I don't. But when you tell me his back hurt when he was playing with his kid, he's playing with his kid. He's not trying to kill the ball. He's not grinding. He's out there with his kid, and he feels discomfort in his back, and it requires an operation. Mike, I love Tiger Woods. You know, I think he'll try to play the Masters this year. It may very well be the first tournament that he comes back and tries to play. But this is discouraging to me, and it makes me nervous. It's so many operations on the same body part, Mike. At what point do you say enough? I'm done. I'm done.
Well, he'll get there, but Tony, I'm not going to say this means it doesn't work. Maybe it means it works for a small period of time. Maybe it works for a year and a half, and he has to go back and do it. Yeah. Yeah, that's – come on now. I know you wear that Doctor of Letters jacket on some shows for what's the word,
yeah.
But I know you didn't go to medical school. And so I'm going to say that – Tony, people have multiple knee surgeries, and it works for a while, and then they got to have it again. You and I have had that. What are you talking about? It works for a while, and then you go back and you say, Doc, in my case, Dr. Alejandro, light me up again. I need something down here on the right knee. So I don't know whether it works for him and for how long. But I tell you what, he's won major championships after the procedure, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you make it sound, when you say he goes back after a couple of years, you make it sound like it's a Botox treatment. And I
oil
don't think
change.
Let's take a break.
Like it's oil change. I hope not. Let's I hope it is up. Like an oil change.
Coming up, what does the addition of George Springer do for the Blue Jays?
And what should we expect if Kyrie Irving joins Kevin Durant and James Harden tonight?
Yeah, just shoot it right tonight. Here in the forehead, you know, every couple of weeks. Yeah, a little bit more Botox here.
It's more serious than Botox. It's more serious than that.
You got him just checking in and going.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Toyota.
Time for our third straight day of email. Apparently, we will put anything on the air. Let me see what's first. With all three stars expected to play, what would constitute success for the Nets tonight against the Cavs?
Tony, I want to start off being a contrarian. There, and by the way, watching Kyrie yesterday with his, you know, chin on his arms as he was talking to the media was just a sight. Nothing that the New York Nets can do equals success tonight. Nothing. Nothing. What they do in May could constitute success, and it better be late May, all right? Nothing. No regular season win or 5 or 8. I tell you something. Okay, I'll give you a task. If they want to win 34 in a row and beat the record held by Wilt and Jerry West and others, okay, fine. But short of that, it's April, May, June that will tell us whether or not the Nets are successful. That's it.
So I have an answer to this question, much like you. It has nothing to do with the result tonight. But I think what would constitute success for the Nets is if those three guys are talking to each other in the locker room after the game and nobody has punched Kyrie in the face yet. This is not about talent. They are great players. It's not about talent. It's about ego and who will get their ego down. What you cannot have is a click of two against one person. And the only person I don't worry about is Kevin Durant, because he has played selflessly on a selfless team
for years.
Before
for years he's done it.
He's not the one that I worry about.
This is a referendum on Kyrie Irving. It's not even, you see how engaged Harden was the other night? This is about and will be about Kyrie.
And this is another email. What does signing George Springer do for the Blue Jays?
Well, I mean, it gives a young team, just prodigiously talented team, an anchor. You know, another one who's like 31, 32 years old, center fielder, leadoff hitter. I mean, a really good center fielder. Maybe he's not the absolute best, but he's way up there, Tony, on the short list. And look, to me, I think of the Blue Jays, San Diego, and the White Sox. They are the teams that are saying, let's go. Drop the puck now. Let's go. We're ready to play. And I'm anxious to see all those teams. And getting Springer just seems to be a really smart move on Toronto's behalf.
So I'm glad you mentioned the Padres, because my first reaction was, what getting Springer does for the Blue Jays is what getting Blake Snell does for the Padres. It takes a young team that just made the playoffs and puts them in a position to be really good really soon. The Blue Jays have all the sons of major leaguers, right? They've got Bo Bichette at this point. They've got Vlad Guerrero Jr. They've got Kevin Biggio. They already made the playoffs. Now, do they take the step? Do they beat the Rays? Do they beat the Yankees, you know, in that division? If the Red Sox come up, do they push the Red Sox down? The other interesting thing to me is he was on a team. Springer was a great player. He was on a team that cheated, and he's getting the big money. What does that say about baseball? Does it say baseball, we hate the team, we love the players, even though the players cheated?
No.
Right?
No, Tony, it's something much broader than that. It doesn't mean anything about baseball. You know the culture we live in. People in the last two generations don't remember anything that happened before Thursday. All right? So it doesn't matter. This shelf life for everything is short.
Enough email. Until tomorrow, I'm sure. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Patrick Mahomes returns to practice.
That was quick. Speaking of short shelf life, and we'll share a few thoughts on the career of the late Don Sutton.
There was a guy, every time he picked up the ball to start, he got out there. His arm didn't hurt. He went out there.
He didn't say,
I
got personal reasons I'm not going to be here. He was out there.
He played.
All right? He was.
Give me the ball.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
Happy time, people. Happy 21st birthday, Tyler Hero. Let me confess, I didn't see this coming when Hero played his 1 year at Kentucky. Okay, he averaged 14 points a game, but I didn't see him making such an impact in the NBA as the 13th overall pick. But Hero landed in exactly the right place, Miami, and got into the rotation. Coming off the bench last year as a rookie, Hero averaged 13.5 points and shot almost 39% from three. And then in that deep playoff run Miami made, Hero scored 16 points a game. Now in his second season, Hero is starting and averaging 17.6 points and shooting nearly 47% from the field. It's odd how it works with one and dones. It's hard to judge how good they're going to be in the NBA because one college season is such a small sample size. But Kentucky churns out NBA guards. John Wall, Devin Booker, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Eric Bledsoe, and now Tyler Hero.
Tony, I know John Calipari's in a little bit of anguish over this early season record with this Kentucky team, but look at how he prepares all those guys for the NBA.
Happy anniversary to the Fox Puck. On this day 25 years ago, Fox introduced a glowing puck in their NHL broadcast in hope of drawing casual viewers to the fast-paced game. The idea was you could see the puck better if it glowed, like Rudolph's nose. Fox gave the puck a blue halo that was only seen by television viewers. It produced a tail when a shot was attempted, red if it was going 50 miles an hour, green if the speed reached 75. Purists hated the idea, of course, because purists hate everything different. When Fox lost the NHL rights in 1999, the glowing puck was lost as well. NBC does not use it. Maybe the glowing puck wasn't a success because it was before its time. Golf is doing pretty well with the colored tracer that shows the flight of a golf shot. And the single greatest technological innovation in the history of American sports is the yellow first down line, which was created by the folks who gave us this puck.
Tony, I don't want to watch golf without the tracer. And I never hear anybody complain about it.
No, it's wonderful to watch. It is. A melancholy trails to Don Sutton. The Dodgers Hall of Fame pitcher died at 75. Sutton was the tortoise in the Tortoise and the Hare fable. He did not have the blinding talent of his early teammates, Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale, but by the end of his career, Sutton had 324 wins and 3,574 strikeouts over 23 seasons. From 1966 to 1986, when he was 41 years old, Sutton pitched at least 200 innings in every season but one, and that was the strike-shortened season of 1981. Only Cy Young and Nolan Ryan had more starts than Sutton's 756. It is said Sutton never missed a start, a proof that the best ability is availability. When his pitching career ended, Sutton started a new baseball career in broadcasting. Sutton did 28 years calling Atlanta Braves games on radio and television. Sutton's passing is yet another Hall of Famer lost. Most recently, it was Tommy Lasorda, one of Sutton's managers. In 2020, baseball lost Whitey Ford, Bob Gibson, Tom Seaver, Phil Niekro, Lou Brock, Al Kaline, and Joe Morgan.
Tony, that's a start of an all-time team right there. It's unbelievable to have lost all those men in such a short period of time.
Let's go to the big finish. Patrick Mahomes participated in today's glorified walkthrough. No contact yet. Your thoughts?
We don't know about the foot yet, but if he's practicing on Wednesday, I believe he's playing on Sunday. Number three, Villanova beat Seton Hall after a 27-day COVID-related pause. Are you impressed?
Maybe not as much as I should be. They're the number three team in the country. They're supposed to win that game. Zion Williamson, top 30 for his second straight game. Is that significant?
Yeah, Tony, he's only played 36 games in his career. He looks pretty darn good to me. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports Doug Peterson is leaning toward taking next season off. Your thoughts?
He's going to get another job when he wants one. He won a Super Bowl. Last one, Celtics and Sixers tonight. He got that tilt.
That's worth watching. One game separating the two, Tony. I am going with tonight the Philadelphia 76ers.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Now, let's throw it to SportsCenter.
Glenn Rifkin, shout out.